sand rolls across the Egyptian countryside. You see a group of pilgrims, unfamiliar to this territory, but yet familiar, walking closer and closer into the city. As you look closer, you realize that one man in particular seems to know his way around Egypt very well, and yet seems like he's from a far-off country. He gets closer and closer into town, and you realize that he is approaching the palace of the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. And a lowly shepherd and those with him step closer and closer and closer to the palace. And as they pass by the palace, they see a group of people being beaten, being driven to do ridiculous work by heartless and cruel slave drivers. You see a look of anger on their faces and determination. And the one man at the front, the leader, the one that seems to be the most familiar, steps out of the sandy marketplace, out of the corridors, and into the palace of the greatest nation in the world. And he approaches the throne of the Pharaoh. With some confusion, people look around wondering, who is this man? But some recognize him. They have seen this face before. And as they look closely at this shepherd, they realize that this is Moses. This is the one who ran off. This is the one who was adopted into the palace. And here he has returned after all these years. Why? He comes and stands before the presence of Pharaoh. And he says, Pharaoh, I have come because my God has called his people out. Pharaoh has a confused look on his face and looks at Moses and says, excuse me? What did you just say? He says, I have come because my God is calling his people out of slavery, out of bondage, out of a life of bitterness and pain, out of shame, out of putrescence. My God is calling his people to be stronger and to be free. Pharaoh begins to laugh. He says, I am the sun that rises in the morning and sets in the evening. I am the moon that watches over all who sleep. I am the grass that grows. I am the water that flows. I am God. And you have the audacity to stand before me and bark orders? Moses makes sure that Pharaoh knows where he's coming from. You see, he left him a sign. All the people are laughing at this man. Maybe they feel a little bit awkward around this man until he takes his staff that was in his hand and he lays it on the ground at the feet of Pharaoh. And people begin to silence and scream at the sound of a slithering snake on the palace floor. People are astounded. How could this shepherd come in from seemingly nowhere after years of silence and leave a snake from a staff in front of Pharaoh? But Pharaoh seems not that amused. He calls his magicians in, and his magicians proceed to make their staffs into snakes. So the people brush it off, but Moses makes sure that Pharaoh knows, my God is bigger than you. And my God is calling his people out. Moses leaves that day. He steps back into the putrescence and the poverty and the shame and the pain of his people. And he realizes why it is that God is calling them out. Because God's people are left in ruin. They are enslaved. They're hurting. Their lives are not fair. And yet these are the people of the greatest God that ever has been and ever will be. How can he make it clear to Pharaoh that God is calling his people out? And so, after a series of events, one by one, these plagues begin to rock the world of Egypt, the greatest nation in the world. And now everyone is terrified of one man, his staff, and his God. At the end of all of this, after the ninth plague, Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, will you let God's people go? And Pharaoh says, I am the rising sun. I am the moon that watches over all who sleep. I am the grass that grows. I am the water that flows. I am God. And you have the audacity to stand before me and bark orders. So Moses leaves. He begins to tell the people of Israel, be sure to be ready to leave. But the problem is, God's people don't want to leave. They've grown so accustomed to being slaves. They would rather just be comfortable in their slavery and their pain and their shame. They would rather be comfortable in their putrescence than have their freedom. And yet somehow Moses and all of this convinces them to be ready because God is calling his people out. And that night, the firstborn in all of Egypt died, including the son of the Pharaoh. Moses comes to him and says, "You stood in the presence of the one that was the sun that rose in the morning and sets in the evening. He is the moon that watches over all who sleep. He is the grass that grows. He is the water that flows. He is God, and he is calling his people out. And you have the audacity to stand before him and bark orders." And Pharaoh says, "Go. Leave." He's defeated. Because the truth is, you can't beat God. It was a slap to his ego. But even better, it was a slap to his divinity. Because he wasn't God. He wasn't the most powerful. And yet he had enslaved these people to believe that he was. They were comfortable in their slavery. They were comfortable in their pain, in their agony, in their shame. They didn't want freedom. They didn't want strength. They didn't want anything but the pain and the agony that they already had. That's a story I think that many of us are familiar with. However, I find that it's familiar in more than one way. The story of Moses is a story that I think we have all lived through, especially the story of the Israelites. I'm about to do a quick Greek study with you, and my Greek is decent enough that I feel comfortable presenting this to you. You may have heard the word ekklesia before. That's the word that we derive church from. Ekklesia is actually a compound word. The first word, kaleos, means those who are called. The second, the prefix, ek, is literally out of. The church, the word that we get church from, literally means those who are being called out. We as a church are those who have been called out of the world. We've been called out of putrescence, out of misery, out of agony, out of shame, out of guilt, out of pain, out of slavery, and into a life of freedom. However, we face a world of people who have been called out who do not want to leave that. We face a world that loves how it feels to be enslaved and in pain and in agony, to feel the wrath of this world and to feel the pain of slavery with absolutely no inkling of desire for freedom. And I can sit here and I can point the finger and I can go on and on about what other people do, but the truth is I've done it myself. We've all done it. For whatever reason, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We return back to those things that we know will enslave us, that we know will entrap us, that we know will make us miserable, that we know will hurt us, and apparently we have no desire for freedom. We have been brought to a higher calling, not only as God's church, but as one sent by God, as a messenger, to let those whom God has called out know that he is God, and he is calling them out of their slavery. We were not called to be timid. We were called to be bold, and Paul makes that very clear to Timothy. We were not called to be slaves. We were called to be strong and bold and free. Not caught in a mess of legality, not caught in a mess of slavery, but caught in the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. The beautiful thing about the gospel is that it's everywhere. You just have to be willing to look for it. Just like the Israelites caught in Egypt, their freedom was there, but they didn't trust Moses, and they didn't trust God, and they were too comfortable in their slavery to take a chance on it. We live in a world that feels that way. And you think, how could I be enslaved to the world when religion just seems so binding? When there's so many rules and there's so much legality? How on earth can you find freedom in that and not in the world where you can do whatever you want? It's all about what you want. We know from experiences and we know from looking at the rest of the world that there are snares and there are traps, and that freedom isn't really free, is it? We live in slavery to what others think. We live in slavery to what we find our identity in. We live in slavery to addiction. We live in slavery sometimes to our own fears. and our own pain. Sometimes we live in slavery to other people. But no matter what it is we live in slavery to, we have a God who is bigger than that. He is the God that is the sun that rises in the morning and sets in the evening. He watches over all who sleep at night. He is the grass that grows. He is the water that flows. And He is God. There is no God above Him. And Pharaoh, in all of his might, the most powerful man in the world at that time, could not conquer him or even come close. And yet we face a world who thinks that their slave driver is God, and that no God could be bigger. We ourselves have to make sure we don't fall into that trap as the church, to look at the world and see it as nothing more than a slave driver that we can't get out from under. There is a lot of pain, and there's a lot of suffering, and there's a lot of things that go on in the world that are miserable. And I hate it. And God hates it. There is a lot of pain. But through all of that pain, there can be freedom. There can be release from that. But it comes from taking the calling that God has offered you, because to be one of God's people means to be called out. Out of that pain, that shame, the guilt, the misery, the slavery, and to be called into a life of freedom. And freedom is not doing whatever you like, but freedom is being free from those things that haunt you. Only God can offer that freedom. And only through the sacrifice of Christ. And it is only through the blood of Christ that we have hope that one man came to this earth and led us out of bondage and into freedom. And that was Jesus Christ. That is where we should find our identity. That is where we should find our security. We have no reason to fear. We have no reason to be ashamed when we can find salvation and freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, for a lot of people tonight, that's a hard pill to swallow. You don't want to leave that slavery. You don't want to leave that pain and that misery because you're too comfortable in that slavery and you don't like the idea of freedom. Believe it or not, I've been there. But when God pulls you out of that, when God calls you out of that, the God of the universe, whom not even the greatest nations in the world have been able to conquer. If you think that whatever it is you're facing is bigger than Him, then you've got another thing coming. God is powerful enough. And God is strong enough to fight whatever it is that you're facing. There is no monster too big. There is no nation too great to enslave you. Because God is calling you out. We step back into the world. Day after day, we step back into the world. Unfamiliar, yet familiar. Seeing the pain and the agony of our people, of God's people. And we have been called to do something about it. Moses didn't get caught up in that slavery. Neither should we. Moses didn't get caught up in being satisfied with slavery. Neither should we. We have been called to something higher. We've been called to something better. For those of you tonight that have been caught in a life of slavery and in pain and agony, there is freedom. And it's amazing. And it is given freely to all who seek it. All you have to do is step out. Because that is what you've been called to. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been or how enslaved you've been. God is calling you out. And He wants to be with you. He wants you to be free. And He wants to fulfill those promises that He's made to you. God loves you, and you are His child, and you are His people. If you've been caught in that slavery, I encourage you to come forward tonight. We have so many people here who are more than willing to help. The ecclesia, those who have been called out, step out with us. It's a leap of faith, yes, but would you rather be stuck in slavery for the rest of your life? If you have any need tonight, I would encourage you to come forward and stand with the ecclesia. Stand with those who have been called out, because together, as God's people, we have nothing to fear. If you have any need, come together as we stand and sing the song of invitation.